Psychedelic Tessin. That was the game doing "Help Me, My Mummy's Gone." And we heard way back Gloria by Hendrix, Shadows of Night doing Potato Chip, Count Five doing Pretty Big Mouth, Plan 9 with B311, The Huntsman doing Say What I Mean, The Woolies, Who Do You Love? The Fofettes doing Yes I Know. The Human Beings with April 15th. And now it's time for Brain Damage. Here at USB, Stony Brook.
'Brain Damage', the program where people call up and either say nothing or hang up. And that's some of what we're going to be doing here tonight, but we're going to be doing other things as well. You know, I just called that number in a particular area code, and it was busy, so that means somebody must have beaten me to it. Okay, 12:03 in the a.m., and we're here to save your soul. We're here to save your life. I tried to say lives, but I ended up saying life. We're here to save you. Because you need saving. Isn't that right? Okay, especially after what you've just listened to. So, here to save you are some bits of knowledge, bits of information that hopefully will come in handy. Listen carefully. Take notes if you have to. Call your friends. Call your relatives. Tell them. Because you're about to learn something that will come in very handy for when people, you know, start dying and things like that. It's important. And we'll be taking phone calls right after. Yeah.
Mind jolly cupid is easy. Hey. Mind jolly cupid is easy. Wow. Yeah. Remote dangerous is easy. I said remote dangerous is easy. I'm talking like the elephantitis. The other one is the poliomyelitis. Arthritis and the one diabetes. You see, cause every day that's a turning Bible pages. From Proverbs forward to Genesis. From Revelation to Ecclesiastes. For let me tell you, tell me wisdom increases. And the lust of the world, it decreases. While every day man a build explosive. The corruption of the world, it exposes. Mind jolly cupid is easy. Mind jolly cupid is easy. I said the most dangerous diseases. I said the most dangerous diseases. I'm talking like the elephantitis. The other one is the poliomyelitis. Arthritis and the one diabetes. You see, while the stars that shine from the galaxies, and it shines on human faces. Hear the cry of the Israelite voices. Who once led by the man Moses. Jah, we need your advice, eh? Hey, help us out of the crisis. Hey, Jah, we need your advice, eh? Hey, help us out of the crisis. You see, every day the girls dress up in a trousers. I say, what happened to your skirts and blouses? Why can't Simon see you in your dresses? All these things answer Jah, Jah not pleases. And every day them a worship vanities. And the greatest lust is jewelry. Hey, Jah, you feel it there with diseases. Jah, you feel it there with diseases. I said the most dangerous diseases.
Oh, Lord.
I'm talking about the dangerous diseases.
Oh,
I'm talking like the elephantitis. The other one is the poliomyelitis. Arthritis and the one diabetes. You see, every day that's a turn in Bible pages. From Proverbs. From Revelation to Ecclesiastes. So let me tell you, tell me wisdom in pieces. And the lust of the world, it decreases. Every day man a build explosive. The corruption of the world, it exposes. Mind jolly cure me disease. Hey, mind jolly cure me disease. Hey, and you feel it cure me disease. Yeah, you feel it cure me disease. I said the most dangerous disease. Yeah, I said the most dangerous disease. I don't care if I'm tight.
Hey, yeah.
Before your mind light it. Arthritis and the one diabetes.
Hey, yeah.
Fill it down with diseases.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't go to no pregnancy, so chop it up with disease every day. You fill it down with diseases. Hey, tell me to live.
Hello, I'm James Hamilton. The name of our program is All Scripture is Beneficial. Today we'll deal with one of the most sensitive of all areas in the human experience, death. If any event leaves most of us embarrassed for what to say or do of any real significance, that's the one. We seem so often to comfort with words which don't make contact with minds or hearts. Our best intentions somehow won't translate themselves into substance. Our deepest compassion is cool unexpressed, and the bereaved lives on in deepening loneliness. There is another way. We invite you to explore it with us in this special episode of All Scripture is Beneficial.
Mr. Wofford.
Doctor?
I'm afraid it's all over.
Is she?
We took every measure we knew how, Mr. Wofford. But there's a limit to how far we can go and what we can do. I'm sorry. Your wife was a very brave woman.
Oh, no. No. It can't be.
Be easy on yourself, man. Remember, you've still got a lot of life to lead.
I've got to think. Just let me go somewhere and think. That's all I need to do.
Ann and I are both very sorry.
Thanks for coming, man. Yes, it's just one of those things. You know, I mean, what can you do?
Still, It happened so fast, and Joyce was so young. It's a heavy load, Fred. No matter what way you try to put it.
It wasn't even 5 years then. We hadn't even been married 5 years.
You loved her very deeply, didn't you?
Almost more than I could stand to feel right now. Does this whole world suddenly close down? You don't know if it's ever going to open. Funny thing, Dan. Still hear her talking to me. Everything in the apartment is a memory of her. Why did it have to happen?
I think most of us were taken by surprise, Fred. Joyce seemed like such a healthy, active woman. You'd never imagine her heart giving out on her. And wasn't she always the one to help?
Yeah, that was Joyce, all right. I remember once when we first got to know you and Anne, you mentioned some point from the Bible that stuck right with Joyce. She even used it on her mother once.
She did?
Yeah, that's what she did. So I was surprised by it. Her mother listened and just accepted it. She had courage, Dan. I loved her for that.
And there was that time that Anne came down with the flu a few months ago. And Joyce came over to help with the housework. We could have managed, but Joyce simply insisted.
There was nobody quite like Joyce, Dan. But that's all over now.
Listen, Fred. I know you've got a lot of things to do, what with all the arrangements. But Anne and I would like to have you over for dinner tomorrow night. We can have a bite to eat and talk quietly.
I don't know, Dan. I don't want you to put yourselves out.
Look, we felt close to you ever since we first began to know you. We want you to come, Fred.
Well, all right. Thank you so much.
Now, is there anything else I can help you with? You know he'll like it, Anne.
You say that so often, I'm not sure I can believe you all the time.
Did I help it if you're a good cook? But we ought to think seriously about Fred's coming over. He's having a hard time.
Well, what do you think we should do, Dan?
I was looking up some advice right after I got home from work.
What did you find?
I got something out of Colossians 3:12.
You did?
Yes, it says, accordingly, as God's chosen ones, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with the tender affections of compassion. And there's what I've been really thinking about, the need for compassion.
Of course, it's necessary. Could you hand me the milk, please, Dan? Thanks.
Necessary, but it isn't easy to have.
Now, dear, sorry I didn't sound like I was listening. I had to get this pudding whipped up.
Well, that's all right.
Now, how do you mean compassion, Dan?
Well, do you know what compassion really means?
Something about putting yourself in someone else's place and feeling the same things he feels, isn't it?
Yes, but in its very strictest sense, it means suffering with someone else.
But don't you think he means for us to be cheerful? He's unhappy enough without our suffering, too.
It doesn't say we have to suffer. The idea is to try to feel right along with him.
You mean to be careful and not make it sound as if we're making light over his misfortune.
That's right. And if he wants to talk about Joyce, let him. He'll feel better. After all, I think if I lost you the way Fred's lost Joyce, then that would be the first thing on my mind. And I would sure want to talk about it.
So we'll try to clothe ourselves with the tender affections of compassion. And let him know he has friends who really care.
That's the Bible suggestion. We've got to get him to feel a part of him that he actually does belong.
Okay, Dan. We'll do the best we can. Meanwhile, would you mind getting the fixings for the salad?
This lamb is delicious.
I can always get a sandwich out of it later on.
I guess you could. It's only a I really am grateful you cared enough to invite me over. I don't think I could face tonight all by myself at the house.
It isn't always we have an evening off where we can have company.
I'm afraid I'm not much company. Most of the time I feel as if I were ready to cry.
Do you think it'll help get going?
Happy.
We know that people will die. The natural human reaction is to sorrow. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died, Jesus wept. There's no shame in hurting.
Dan and I both love Joyce very much. We feel very deeply for
you. I think it's also new and fresh. I kind of feel like I'm the only man that's ever lost somebody loves.
Well, why don't you look at something about suffering which may help alter things?
You mean the Bible hopes?
No, not at this point. You're already familiar with this, but read here in 1 Peter 5, 9.
Right here?
That's right.
But take your stand against him, solid in the faith, knowing that the same things in the way of sufferings are being accomplished in the entire association of your brothers in the world.
So you see what he was saying?
A lot of people are suffering.
And although you can't think you're all alone in it, a scripture like Revelation 21, 3 and 4 might cheer you up.
I know you don't hurt any less for knowing others suffer, Fred. But perhaps it can help start putting things back in perspective.
That's the hard part, Anne. Events spinning crazy inside my head. Feel like my whole heart is drained and empty. Want to cry, but I can't. Hurt, but I'm helpless to change my pain. It's only that one day she was alive, talking to me about what we were going to do this weekend. And the next, her heart had stopped beating. I guess it's helped. I wish she were here. I wish it so badly. I could... That's what you were telling me. I'm not the first or last. I feel like an idiot acting like this. I'm supposed to be a grown man.
Fred, bone, flesh, and heart, or any of us. For any of us who we weep, our hearts feel a little bit.
That's right.
This is a test.
It's only natural, Fred. But you can't let yourself think that you're the only one. Or that Jehovah God doesn't care.
You know, when you're face to face with reality, the Bible takes on so much more meaning.
It is a great comfort to have.
That and having friends who need enough to care for you.
Just to encourage you, Fred. We're glad to help. We're sorry you have to leave so soon.
Well, I'd better try to get some sleep. I still have a lot of things to do, and I'll need my rest.
It was good to have you over to talk for a while.
Well, I guess I better be moving on.
By the way, before you go, why don't I stop by and pick you up on the way to work next week when you go back?
Oh, it's too much trouble.
Oh, I almost pass by your place every day anyway.
I'm not so sure I'm going back too soon, Dan.
I'll stop by. I know you need time for solitude, but I don't think you need time for brooding.
Well, I'll see. It's still a little soon. Anyway, thanks again. I'll see you, Dan.
Goodbye.
So long.
Be sure you're having a hard time, Connie. What you said about compassion was right, Dan. I still hurt for him.
But you can't hurt to the point that you don't see the problems involved. He needs someone to be there. He needs a sympathetic listening ear. And he also needs for someone to be firm with him and make him keep living his life. That's why I volunteered to help him be sure to get to work.
Such a good thing.
Sure. More he puts on it, greater it is. The Apostle Peter was someone when he would persecute the Christians if he find it. Not our two. But it all has to have
I now that
we
do something for Fred. Such a man.
Fred's risk for right from right from right. Pure.
Tell you how much I appreciate all you've done.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, listeners, like today, we were just and they let me talk. Then instead of just letting me sit back and feel sorry for myself, they helped me to change. Like taking me to work every morning. Just
we've been going 3 months
already. That's another thing.
What do you want out of life? A home? A career? A large bank account? Or must life go deeper than that? Hello, I'm Nathan Belcher, and those are the questions we'll be exploring on this interview portion of the program, All Scripture is Beneficial. Our guests are two men who have given their entire adult lives to serving others. Both are Bible lecturers and members of Jehovah's Witnesses International Headquarters staff in Brooklyn, New York. They're Mr. Frank Toth and Mr. Patrick LaFranca. Thank you for coming, gentlemen.
Thank you for that complimentary introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, thanks for inviting us.
The work you do bears on the national and international activities of Jehovah's Witnesses. However, you also work with people on a one-to-one basis. Public and private Bible instruction, lecturing, marriage counseling, working with the elderly and infirm, and so on. And you're never paid for these services, if I'm informed correctly.
That's true. Our cause is a charitable one, and one of our principal beliefs is not to enrich ourselves at our brother's expense. This is in keeping with Jesus' teaching, you received free, give free.
Could you tell us whatever made you undertake such a career?
I must attribute a lot to my parents' influence because from a very early age, around 6 years old, why we began to study the Bible as a family, and it was instilled in me that it's the right, the proper, the good thing to do, serving God.
So you had a personal purpose or goal in life when you finished school?
Yes, it was a natural thing for me to just go right into this type of service.
In my case, it wasn't just my parents, but several older persons within the congregation were very encouraging to me. And I really feel that this interest that they showed in my spiritual advancement really had a tremendous influence upon me, and it certainly helped me to decide what I was going to do upon finishing school.
I should tell our listeners that both our guests look to be in their 30s. Am I correct?
Well, actually,
in my case, yes.
Actually, I'm in my early 40s, but I'm often taken for a younger person. I hope it's because of an active life.
How long have you been at what you're doing?
Go ahead, Frank.
Well, in my case, it's as far back as my grammar school days to some extent. At that time, I was giving short talks in the various congregations where I attended. And it wasn't until I reached my 20s when I actually got involved in the work in a broader way, caring for sick people, giving marriage counsel, and so on.
Well, in my case, it's been almost half my life. It's been over 14 years.
What do you consider to be the biggest single factor keeping you at your work?
Well, we found that the Bible offers the noblest incentives. For instance, Jesus said there's more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. Well, that's a fine and noble thought, and it's uplifting to a person. It really makes sense, and, well, it wakes one out of his apathy if that's the state of mind he's in.
Yes, this type of service isn't something that we're forced into doing, but we do it because there's a happiness around us, a real inner satisfaction in doing this work.
We've been doing a series of interviews on subjects directly related to young people and family life. Probably one of the most difficult periods of life is the crossing over from adolescence to adulthood. In your work, have you found any way to help smooth that passage, particularly with reference to goals in life?
Everybody, in fact, needs goals. But young people in particular, they don't know what they're going to do with their life, even after high school or college. They start experimenting with different things to see how they can fill the void. So we definitely need goals, and the Bible really gives us guidelines, gives us incentives to establish goals. And I like the thought in Proverbs chapter 4, where the inspired word says, "As for your eyes, straight ahead they should look. Yes, your own beaming eyes should gaze straight in front of you. Smooth out the course of your foot, and may all your own ways be firmly established." The Bible really does help us do that, too, to smooth out our course of life and to gain some real stability by following Bible principles.
Undoubtedly, you've seen how what you just said works out in real life. Can you tell us of any cases where parents and youth have succeeded using the, can I say, formula you've quoted?
Yes, in our congregation, we have a girl by the name of Alice. She was associating with the wrong crowd at school. In fact, a number of them were taking drugs and were involved in shoplifting. And her parents were alarmed when they found out what the trend actually was. And so they received some encouragement from the elders within the congregation. And immediately the parents engaged in a program to help their daughter come to her senses and choose a wholesome, noble goal for her life. And they were quite successful. Alice now is quite active in Bible study herself. She actively engages in somewhat of a missionary work in her own community and her neighborhood, encouraging other people to study the Bible. And she's having good success now.
I think of another Alice, in this case my own wife. She had a very good training, I think. She looks back and she sees that her father was quite strict with her. But she also sees the value of that. Her father did inculcate some very fine Bible principles and moral standards. And so when she was in her high school years, even though there were temptations to get in the company of people who were experimenting with drugs and who also got involved in sexual immorality, why, she stayed free of that. And after she left school, why, she immediately got involved in helping people to understand the Bible and that type of service.
Do you feel there's ever a point in life where a person is too old to change his life course?
No, I certainly don't. For example, I know of a 70-year-old woman who was quite discouraged with life and had doubts even about the value of the Bible or worship of God. But then a young woman called at her home and was able to answer questions that had been bothering this woman for quite some time, all her life, as a matter of fact. And she was so impressed with the answers that she received from the Bible that she began an intensive study of the Bible. And for the past 6 years now, she's been devoting her full life to teaching the Bible and offering encouragement and aid to the sick and elderly. So no matter how old or how young a person may be, if we appreciate the need for guidance from Jehovah God and we look to Him for strength, we can pursue a wholesome and beneficial course in life.
Do you relate a profession, skill, or a career with a purpose in life? Are they the same thing?
Not really. Pursuing a certain profession or skill is not automatically going to make one the kind of person he wants to be or the kind of person he should be. A person can be professional and corrupt.
The following program is controversial. It may upset some listeners. It will excite others.
We were supposed to play that first, weren't we? I'm sorry. I keep getting it mixed up with, you know, one action followed by another. Well, pretend we played that first and followed it with the religious program, which I know religion offends some people. I'm sorry for that. But we'll get to you at some point. Don't worry. When you're most vulnerable, we'll strike. Just the way that it works. It's 12:31, and this is Brain Damage. I don't have to say it tonight, do I? No. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. And we have the news, as it came right off of our teletype only a few moments ago. I even saw this print out. It was amazing. Rescue crews continue slowly into a mine in Nova Scotia, where 26 workers have been trapped underground since early Saturday. And families are waiting for any news, good or bad. There's been no communication from the missing miners since their coal shaft was rocked by what the mine company says was most likely a gas explosion. Makes sense. About 3,500 soldiers and Marines have left Los Angeles and invaded San Francisco. No. Okay. Well, they've left Los Angeles. We don't know where they are. Supposedly their peacekeeping mission is over. California Governor Pete Wilson told them many people are very grateful for the job they did. Or for what they didn't do. Or for all kinds of things. They're grateful that they're gone. They're just grateful in general. 10,000 National Guard troops remain deployed in the city. Governor Pete Wilson conveyed no message to them. The shuttle Endeavour, which, by the way, do you know it's spelled O-U-R and not O-R? Did you know that? Okay. It is. Endeavour. The shuttle Endeavour has the Intelsat satellite in its sights. The shuttle fired its rocket motors several times Saturday to get in position behind the malfunctioning communications bird. Sunday, spacewalking astronauts will try to snare the satellite and later reposition it in its proper orbit this time. Well, violence has marked the final day. Usually it says violence has marred the final day, but they decided to replace that second R with a K because this is the Philippines and you expect that kind of thing. So violence has marked the final day of campaigning in the largest election in Philippine history. Three people were killed, 56 injured Saturday in a pair of politically motivated explosions. Voters choose a successor to President Corazon Aquino on Monday among the seven candidates. Yes, you guessed it, former First Lady Imelda Marcos. Bet you never thought that would happen. Possible presidential candidate Ross. How do you say his first name? Ross? It says Ross here. Anyway, Perot. We all know him as Perot. Is challenging Oklahoma State University graduates to get their hands dirty as they launch their careers. In a commencement speech on Saturday, Perot called on them to learn how to deal with obstacles ahead. In New York, City Hall is instant. Can you believe that made the news? Tells the graduates to get ready for obstacles ahead, and that makes the news. In New York, City Hall is instituting curbside democracy. It's ending the time-honored tradition of free parking for foreign diplomats. Millions of dollars in revenue are at stake in a city struggling with budget shortfalls. And that's the latest breaking news. It's 12:34. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's what it is. And 14 degrees Celsius, 57 on the Fahrenheit scale. The phone lines are all clogged up, but I want to see some more calls come in. 632-6901, area code 516. Let us know what's on your mind, what's happened in your life, what particular doctrines you have to pass along to us and to your fellow listeners. This is the program for you, and we've spent 35 minutes of it so far not talking to you, so let's get to the phones. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Mr. Quayle.
Why is it you're always either first or second?
Because it's just the way it is. You know, last week, most everybody agreed with the verdict, except you and Matt on the show, except for a couple of people. Right.
Well, when you say nearly everybody, you mean nearly everybody that called this show? I don't even think that's true, but, you know, a few people did. A few people did, and that was kind of interesting, I'll just say that.
I think this shows deep down inside that most of these callers are conservative Republicans when they agree with the verdict. Like just about all the major Republicans agree with the verdict, and all the Democrats disagree with the verdict.
Well, you know, the Republicans go a step further than agreeing with the verdict. They blame all the violence on Democrats of the 1960s.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible, I think.
You know, and when all this, after the verdict, I didn't understand why the black people did all the looting and burned down their own stores in their own neighborhoods.
Well, now, I don't know if you watched the television at all, but it wasn't just black people doing this. It was
yes.
people of all colors who are getting together on this.
And Hispanics, I'm sorry.
And, of course, you have to realize that a lot of the victims, most of the victims, the vast majority were black people, both violence and, you know, homes being burned down and things like that.
Yeah, when they burned down all their stores and looted, they said that's because they were angry why the white cops beat up Rodney King. Then why did they burn down all the Korean stores just because they were Korean? And most of the black stores that they knew that they were black-owned, they didn't burn them.
That's not true. That's not true. Lots and lots of things got burned down that were black-owned.
Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis, they owned a black shop in Los Angeles, and the whole block was burned down except that store.
Well, maybe it had asbestos on it. I don't know.
You know,
I can't explain that.
Black people don't get along with anybody. Do you name one ethnic group that black people get along with?
Can I name an ethnic group that... I can't believe you just asked that, but I'm going to let you continue just to see what else you say.
When a white man beats... If there were black cops and they beat up a white man, all the white people wouldn't react like this. True?
Well, I don't think white people feel as threatened by black cops as black people feel threatened by white cops. The fact is it doesn't happen. I think, you know, you're answering your own question here. When is the last time you heard of a gang of black cops beating up a white person? It just does not happen. Yet this seems to happen on a daily basis.
That who provokes all the stuff? The people like the Reverend Al Sharpton. I hate him.
Well, you know, I saw him on Phil Donahue a couple of weeks ago, and actually he impressed me. For once. I mean, I've always thought he was a loudmouth and didn't really make much sense, but, you know, he actually said things that were of a kind of a moderate level.
And like, the white man is the devil. That's moderate, right?
Some white men are.
That's not true. Were you ever on Geraldo?
I can't talk about that. This is a non-commercial station. It's against FCC rules to even say Geraldo here.
It is?
Yeah. In fact, we've got two court appearances now because it was said twice.
No, you're lying. Why? I don't understand why.
I would not lie. If I lie, that's yet another court appearance. You can't lie in non-commercial media.
To explain why.
I can't explain why. Because how can I explain why without, God forbid, saying the name again?
Oh. You know, I like it better when there's one person just hosting the show.
Yeah, me too.
Because when you and Matt host a show together, you keep on talking to each other.
Yeah, yeah, and we forget about the people on the phone.
All right, and... I just want to say, vote Republican and Quayle in 96.
Okay, and I think the Democrats thank you very much for saying that. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, you're on.
Before I talk about L.A., I just have to say hi to a couple people.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to say hi to Adam and Stacy.
Adam and Stacy.
Okay, and a big hi to Jessica.
Adam and Stacy and Item?
What?
Adam and Stacy and Item?
Yeah, well, I was just hanging out with them tonight.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say hi to Jessica.
The whole island is talking about them.
I'm sorry?
The whole island's been talking about them.
Oh, Adam and Stacy?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I think there's a lot you don't know, actually.
Yeah, but, Adam's like one of the dopest persons in the world.
Well, we'll save that for another conversation, but there's stuff going on you would not believe.
Dopest person of them all. All right, getting on to this L.A. thing.
Yeah, let's get on to that.
Okay, what I didn't understand was why 22 of the black people, like, I think it was 22 blacks was the most amount of any ethnic group that was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make sense to me because it was the blacks, like, rioting because a black person, but, you know, the four white cops weren't charged with whatever.
Well, let's just get one thing straight here. It wasn't the blacks doing this or that. Yes, the majority of people were blacks because the majority of people who live in those areas are black, but it was not black people going out and killing white people. It was nothing like that. There were some white people attacked by black people, and those white people were saved by black people, too.
Right.
So, you know, while a lot of the people involved were black, a lot of people involved were white, too, and all kinds of races and religions, because a lot of people were very upset and very angry, and when you are that upset and angry, you do irrational things.
Exactly. But, I mean, it all does not make sense. Black, white, orange, gray, purple, who cares? Why don't we just drop the racial stuff and get on with early.
Well, you know, it's so funny because, you know, you can't get more obvious than black and white. In a way, it's almost funny. You know, that's the most obvious thing you can notice about somebody is if they're black or white. You can't, you know, get under their skin and find out what religion they are until you ask them, then you can hate them for that. You can't find out what background they are or what their ideology is. But black and white, that you can see at a distance. And, you know, I don't know how anybody can say it's anything more than that. That's all it is. It's just
outward
appearance.
By describing them by the color of skin, saying this guy's black, this guy's white, that's
mm-hmm.
it. That right. This guy's black, this guy's going to run into go into the convenience store and steal something just because he's black, he's going to get watched.
Now, did you hear about a videotape that existed before this whole Rodney King incident? I had just found out about this, but apparently there was an incident in a Korean grocery store where a black woman was shot and killed on videotape by the female owner of the store because they got into an argument over whether or not she had shoplifted something. It turns out she hadn't shoplifted anything. As she was walking out of the store, the Korean grocery owner shot her in the back of the head.
Wow.
And that was captured on videotape, and the Korean grocery owner was given probation, was not even sentenced to jail. She never admitted any kind of remorse or any kind of grief or anything.
Probably on crack or something.
No, I don't think so. I think this is exactly what she meant to do. Got no prison time, and of course the black community was outraged by that, and that got no publicity as far as I can see.
I just heard it first from you.
So if you're asking, you know, why, or if anybody's asking why there's an appearance of animosity towards Koreans, that could explain some of it.
Right.
Certainly could.
I don't know, but it's a strange world.
It's a strange and scary world, and it's a very fragile world, too. You know, something that we can lose our sense of balance very easily and quickly. And it almost happened all throughout the country a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you know, we were hearing reports from everywhere. And it's in Toronto now.
My aunt, who lives in Brooklyn, who called me that, I think it was last Friday, and she'd heard of rioting in Penn Station. She was going to spend the weekend out here, but...
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing ever came of because it wasn't right. It was just a peaceful demonstration at the city hall.
Yeah, there was a lot of rumors going around the city that night.
Of some sporadic violence. But it was funny, too, because I was outside on last Saturday, and I saw smoke going up. There was a fire in my neighborhood. And I thought, oh, here we go.
Here we go, yeah.
It was weird, but you know, obviously nothing ever came of it. But no, I didn't hear last week's show, so I don't know exactly what went on.
I think what's happened in L.A. is just a lot of repressed anger because, you know, people take abuse for long periods of time, and they live in poverty, and they never get anywhere. And, you know, you and me, we have opportunities that a lot of other people do not have, and we take for granted. It's not easy to get out of a lifestyle where you're condemned to live in poverty. It really is not easy when everyone around you is living that way. If you are able to escape the drug addicts and the organized crime and everything else that's around you, you still have to worry about you know, getting a job and paying for everything. It's very hard, and you get this sense throughout the years. It just sort of builds up in you, and then when that outlet opens up, you explode. And you certainly can't answer for all of your crimes at that point.
Right.
But you can prevent criminals from being created by not giving them the society in which to multiply and fester and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I hear you. One thing before I go.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, I just lost what I was going to say. I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
It happens to the best of us.
I want to recommend everybody watch the movie Boys in the Hood.
I hear that's actually a very good film. I haven't seen it.
It's an excellent film. It doesn't deal with racism. It deals about what goes on between just in the black neighborhood. I think there was only one white person in the movie. That was that there was two cops. One was a black, one was white. But
uh-huh.
I mean, it's not a racial movie. It's about, you know, black gangs, you know, going shooting each other and stuff. You know, it's really good. And about one, you know, one of the kids' fathers brought him up really good. And you know, and it shows how, you know, goes on. I know it's out in video stores now. If you know anybody wants to rent it, I know it's on pay-per-view.
And it doesn't glorify the violence, does it?
No, it doesn't. Well, in towards the end of the movie, it has some violence in it, but.
But it doesn't glorify that violence. Violence is bad, right?
Yeah. You know, that's what the kids follow. You know, tried to explain to them.
Uh huh. Do you want to give us a very brief synopsis of what it's about?
Okay. Well, basically, it's a kid. The guy's name is Trey. residential neighborhood, like you know, I live in Port Jeff. It's kind of like that, but it's just all black. And so he moves with his father when he's like 7 years old. And his father, you know, teaches him, you know, all the good things in life, you know. Teach him to be good and go to school. And, you know, and the way when they flash from the time when he was 7 to about 17, that's when most of the movie took place. Basically he was a good student, you know, and, he never got into trouble or anything. And what happened was two of his friends that were brothers who lived across the street from him, one of the brothers got shot. And he went in the car with the other brother to go shoot the other kids, but, you know, like, he stepped out of the car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other brother went and shot him. But, and they found out at the end it was a true story, for everything that went on.
Or based on a true story.
Yeah, it was based on a true story. And right now, it's him, the kid and his girlfriend go to college somewhere in Georgia, whatever. But, you know, it was pretty good.
Yeah, don't destroy the ending or anything like that.
You know, it's just you know, it was an excellent movie. Like, when I saw it right before that stuff happened in L.A. when I was watching, you know, when hearing what was going on in L.A., I was like, that's pretty much what went on in Boys in the Hood. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I watched it a couple times afterwards because I got one of those illegal boxes.
I know somebody that just seen Do the Right Thing, and they were amazed at how that sort of fell into place as well.
Yeah. But, you know.
Okay.
All right, well, you know, I get really annoyed when somebody babbles on the phone for so long, so I'm going
to
get off.
Okay, don't get annoyed at yourself then. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, take it.
632-6901, area code 516. You know, there was a film that was going to be released pretty soon. It was called Looters, and now they have to take it back and rename it because they don't want to be associated with what's been going on. Talk about poor timing. Good evening.
Happy Mother's Day. How you doing?
Yeah, it is Mother's Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, consider this a reminder to all you people out there that have those kind of commitments.
Yep. Boys in the Hood, excellent picture, excellent film. I'd like to make a point about the establishing shot in the film is nothing else. You just hear shots going off, and then the camera goes on to a stop sign. And I thought that was incredible. That is the whole message right there.
Uh-huh.
One shot, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it ends. The ending is it's a pretty powerful movie. I have to say that whoever brought that up it's good that he brought that up because even though it has nothing to do with the black and white relationships, it's very powerful in what goes on in urban cities and talks about gentrification of the poor and things of and what's going on with the drugs in urban cities. So,
do you remember the controversy that came out when that film came out?
Yeah, it seemed there was some shooting going on in theaters and stuff like that, right?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I guess there were some incidents, but there was all this controversy and discussion over whether such films should be allowed. In the meantime, Terminator 2 was out, and nobody was thinking that was controversial at all, and there was probably a lot more gunfire there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it that way.
Yeah, it's a violent film, but it shows how, shows how violence really can't stop violence. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way this kid is brought up, his father like fought in Vietnam and stuff, and it's interesting to show like how his attitude towards violence is after that. You know, just everything towards life. That guy's really good character. And
uh-huh.
It's a good movie. It's an important film to see. You know, but anyway, getting on to the Rodney King case, I just want to talk about that. When I first heard about the jury's decision, I was pretty shocked myself, and then I was thinking about it, and we talked about it a lot in my classes, in my American history class, and things like that. And it turns out there's a point that I don't know if it has been made that much, but the defense has used this in their case that if a person is on PCP, then it's departmental procedures to literally beat the crap out of them. You know, and because I guess that was part of the defense, how true or how not true it was. I guess that might have been the impression that the jury got, was that, yeah, he was on some type of a drug, because, I mean, they had shocked him, I think, twice, and they were going on that basis as he was on some drug that enhances his strength and things like that.
He only had alcohol in the system, right?
Excuse me?
I think he only had alcohol in his system.
Well, I don't know if he was tested. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what makes the case shaky. I don't know if he was tested for that or not, but that's what they were going on, that they assumed he was on PCP. And that assumption might have led them to the violence that they used. And in that case, if you look at every single scene, not just what the media shows, but I'm saying if you look at every single scene from the beginning until the very end, I could see how the defense attorney could try justifying it, say, oh look, he's getting up here, all right, we have to be, oh, he's getting up here. I mean, there were certain scenes I think that were not necessary, but a lot of it I think that the defense attorney could definitely prove as being necessary, as being a deterrent to someone who's on PCP.
I just don't see how, when you have somebody lying on the ground and you're hitting them and they're not getting up, he really was not getting up. He was might have been flailing a little bit or just rocking a little bit, but he was not in any danger of getting up. Plus, you had three other cops standing there not doing anything.
Right.
It didn't seem like this person was any threat to them at all. It did, and plus, add to that, the laughter on the radio as the guy is calling for an ambulance. The really obscene computer messages that the LA cops send back and forth to themselves talking about the people that they beat up tonight.
Yeah, I understand. I can't justify what they did at all, but I'm just saying that everyone's saying, oh, they're so shocked at the jury's decision. Well, we weren't exactly in the courtroom to be persuaded by the defense. I mean, we don't know how good the prosecution was. We don't know how good the defense team
actually
was. Evidently, prosecution wasn't, too hot, and the defense attorney must have put up one hell of a case, and, because these 12... jurors found them not guilty.
I think a lot of it was broadcast on Court TV. I know I saw bits and pieces of it on World News Now, that late night program.
Yeah.
So it's possible that there's a whole videotape out there of this trial somewhere, because it was one of those things where you can record it on camera.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see. I'd like to review the prosecution and the defense. I mean, I think the prosecution was terrible. Obviously.
Yeah.
They didn't put Rodney King on the stand. They should have. They weren't new. They were like Democrats. They just weren't brutal enough.
But that's the reason why everyone's saying that the jury, it's a shocking thing. But given maybe the circumstances in the courtroom, we can't really judge that because we weren't there. We weren't sitting in that spot,
Uh-huh.
And also, the other fact of where the jurors were from and where the court case took place.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot more sense. Where they were from. They were from an area with lots of cops that lived there.
We can't assume that they were like that. It's possible, though. We can't. I'll make those assumptions.
Well, it's just very difficult because this is something that you have on videotape. You see it in front of you, and it's...
Yeah, that's another thing that... I mean, just think about if this wasn't videotaped at all, they'd have absolutely nothing. And think of all the times that, this stuff goes on and no one's... how many people go around with video cameras?
Exactly. And it's happened so many times in the past. So many times I've heard of cops being, getting off all charges.
How are they going to prove something like that? It's your word against a police officer. A police officer's word is like... the word of God.
Exactly. And this another thing in this particular case was that there was a police officer that testified against the other police officers, but even that wasn't enough.
Yeah, I don't know what it takes really to get some type of conviction.
Well, hence the frustration, and the anger. What does it take? What is it going to take for people to actually see what's right in front of them? It's hard to understand at all.
Oh, I don't know. That's a scary situation, I guess. But at least the best thing that came out of it, though, as bad as the riots were, as bad as the looting was, at least it is showing that, I think what the riots are showing more than just the outright, against the verdict and stuff, I think it shows, like, the socioeconomic, situation of urban cities. I mean, really, it's gotten to the point where, like in the 1960s, they're just, they're fed up with what's going on. And this is an excuse to show that much anger. I think a lot of the anger was brought out by this case, but I think it's rooted a lot deeper than that. I mean, think about, these in the ghettos there and stuff. I mean, it's, like Boys in the Hood also, it shows how it's really difficult to get out, You got to really do something else, either crack dealing or be really smart. That's the only way you're going to get out of the ghetto,
Really smart and really lucky.
Yeah. So
it's almost impossible.
That's another thing. It shows how terrible the situation is in there, and that it's really an injustice socially and economically in those parts of the city, and that's hopefully America can wake up to that. Hopefully our political leaders can say, hey, look, there's an injustice here. It's not, just maybe it'll open some people's eyes. Just the rioting and stuff, that's the best thing could happen, because the more it's hidden up, by smiley faces and stuff, the worse the problem's going to grow. Everyone's going to forget about what it's really like until you see something like this. You know, you need an incident like this to spark it. This is the spark that we needed.
Next Saturday is a March on Washington, which is gaining a lot of steam. A lot of people are turning this into a march against this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there could be a very sizable crowd down there. I think there's buses leaving from Stony Brook too.
Yeah.
So that's another way to look at this, demonstrations against this kind of thing. You know, and a presidential election year too. It's good timing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is perfect timing. Not just against the police brutality, which is evident, but I mean, you know, more of the injustice that's taking place. I mean, these people, I mean, they're in a situation and it's being ignored by leaders and stuff, and most of them aren't, you know, I can't judge because I don't know. I don't have statistics, but I can assume that it's not a high voting population, and therefore it's overlooked, as opposed to, you know, white middle-class America who will be voting more. Our problems are recognized a little bit more. I think that's another problem in this country is the lack of you know, able to vote, you know, registering to vote. I just registered to vote. I'm 17. I just registered. And for me to do that, I could just go to the post office, but I mean, it was just difficult. It wasn't as easy as I thought it could have been. I think it should be made a little bit more available.
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to just being at the post office or to your legislator. I mean, at my school, they had to run a program to get people to register, you know.
Well, what did you have to do to register?
Me? I don't even know how I got it. Somehow, I obtained a registration form. I got it from, I think I got it from the libertarian guy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a libertarian or anything, but
the libertarian guy's out there starting trouble, huh?
He's like, I have a couple of extras, and I took one and stuff. But, I mean, that's the type of way of obtaining it, you know. It's just like the weird ways of, I saw one in someone's car one time, and it's just like, it should be made a little bit more available than it, you know, just at a post office.
Well, maybe mail to you, for instance.
Yeah, have a mail to every single person in the country. That would be...
Yeah, it's interesting how they make selective service registration so damn easy. It's staring you in the face every post office you walk into. But voter registration, that's a real pain, isn't it?
That's a problem. Because, I mean, if everyone could vote, everyone who's a citizen is able to vote without registering, that would make a hell of a difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have to, I mean, you don't have to read or anything. You could just go in and say, you know, Mr. Bush, I don't like you very much. Bang, I'm not going to vote for you. Instead of being able, you know, to having to do all the other stuff that's entailed and having to find a place that has it and this and that, you know, it's a lot easier. And also the place that you live. Like, I'm going to be going away to school next, you know, in the fall. I'm not going to be able to register. That's another thing. I'm going to have to fill out a absentee ballot, and, you know.
Well, you can register in New York State. I know you can register to vote where you go to school. People here at Stony Brook can vote here, but they have to really apply some initiative to do that. And they don't make it very easy for you, but
it's not easy at all. I'm just going to do an absentee.
It is possible. It is legal to do it now.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, even that's hard. Also, I don't even know if the absentee ballots are really counted, unless it's like close. That's what I heard. Also,
well, just the terminology absentee ballot. You know, it makes
so,
you
such
feel
a negative
so worthless.
Thing. It's like it turns people off, I think, from voting a lot. This is my first election. I definitely want to vote. You know, I can't wait. But I mean, if even though it is going to be an absentee ballot.
And plus, they don't give you off. Election Day is not a holiday. It should be.
Yeah.
I think that was one of Jerry Brown's contentions, that Election Day should be a holiday. They don't give you off at school. They don't give you off at work. You know?
What am I going to do, drive down to New York and come back to the old place?
I mean, they give you off for what? Columbus Day, President's Day? Let's you know,
Columbus
let's have a real
Day, that's
working
a
holiday. Yeah, it's insanity.
Yeah. All right, can I just say hi to a few people?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, say hi to Damon. Tom, if you're listening, nice Boston accent last week. And to Amy, if she's listening, I'm sure she'll probably be getting on the air as usual.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that the person that called up and claimed to be from Boston was actually faking it?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all.
Oh, you said nice Boston accent last week, as if this week is going to be a Southern accent or something.
I think he thinks that he's from Boston. That's what it is.
He thinks he's from Boston, but you know better.
No, I don't even know better. He might be from Boston. I don't know.
All right, we'll check into this. Oh, wait, his name is Tom?
Maybe.
All right, we'll check up on Tom, please. Yeah, okay. We've got files on everybody that calls.
Oh, okay. This is Craig, by the way.
Yeah, we know that.
All right. All right, well, have a nice night, and have a happy Mother's Day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
I don't think anybody ever wished me a happy Mother's Day before, but there's always a first. Oh, that's a big file on Tom. Are you sure that's... Wow. We have some work to do after the show tonight. Okay, 632-6901, 516 is the NPA, which is a technical term. It means area code. I don't know why 516 is our area code, but it is. Hey, do you know there's a brand new area code that's going to be starting up in a couple of months? It's 917. That's right, 917. Let's try calling a number in 917 and see what we get here. We'll call 917-6... Oh, our Roam phone system isn't going to allow us to do this, is it? Okay, it's not programmed in yet. Well, we have ways to get around that, so just bear with us while we bypass the Roam quote-unquote phone system. We'll get another long-distance company. What is that noise? What is that horrible noise? That's the sound of technology at work here. Let's try that again. See if we can get an actual dial tone out there. Not some screeching sound. That's better. Okay, now we're going to try the 917 area code. 632-6901.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or call your operator to help you. 132-A1.
Okay, remember those numbers, because you'll need them. All right. It doesn't go through yet. But, here's something interesting. Guess what does go through? If I can figure out how to dial the telephone again. Calls to information in the 917 area code go through. Let's see if they know what they're doing.
Your telephone, Miss Wilk.
Yes, hello. Is this the 917 area code?
No, sir. This is area code 212 and 718. 917 is a new area code in New York, but it's only for cellular car phones.
Oh, I see. Only for cellular car phones, huh? Because I dialed 917-555-1212, and I got you.
Right. You'll get connected into us right now, because what it is they don't have a regular directory to cellular car phones by the person's name. So you're getting hooked into us, because if it's a cellular phone you're looking for, we need to know the name of the company that has your cellular car phone service, or the person you're looking for, so we can look it up.
I see. Okay. And do you know when this 917 area code will be starting up?
As a regular separate directory, I have no idea. There's a lot of... there's a lot of companies that provide cellular service, and it's a matter of them all agreeing to having a regular directory. In the meantime, they're giving out numbers starting with the area code 917, because New York City has just gotten too big to keep on using 212.
Yeah, I heard that. But when will numbers start working in 917?
If you have a phone number already that's 917, besides 555-1212, like a regular phone number, but using the 917 area code,
yeah,
you can dial it and get through on it.
Oh, they exist already?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
They exist. They just don't have a regular directory for it yet.
I see. Okay.
There's too many companies that are arguing over it.
Yeah, well, companies will do that. All right. Thanks very much. Been very helpful.
Have a good evening.
You too. That was a very helpful information operator. Usually they're much more abrupt than that. But yes, that's true. 917 is the new area code for cellular phones and also beepers and things like that. So, first area code ever, apart from 800 area code, that is not area specific. At least, it's kind of area specific. It's the New York area, but there are no phones that will ring except moving phones. It's kind of weird. So keep an eye on that. You heard it here on Brain Damage. It's 4 minutes after 1 o'clock. We're on until 2 o'clock, so give us a call, 632-6901. Good morning.
Oh, gee. I belong to KFC Posse.
You're going to have to speak up a little bit.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay, that's better.
I belong to KFC Posse. Look for new members. Anybody wants to join the KFC Posse, got to call Dave. 588.
Okay, we can't give out phone numbers on the air. I'm sorry. I assume everybody knows who Dave is, though.
Sorry.
Okay, you can meet Dave in the mall or something like that if you want to do that.
No, okay. Another thing. On Mother's Day tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to fuck Matt Gunn.
Good morning.
Hey, Eric.
First of all, the guy who called before, who was talking about Boys in the Hood, and
yeah.
he was talking about Tom.
Yeah.
His name is Blendy, and I gave him his voting registration. What a dopo. Oh, sorry. Someone just made coffee without coffee, so what they did is made... In fact, Tom, with the Boston accents over here, and he's making coffee without coffee grinds.
So you got what, water?
Exactly. Hot
now,
water.
I once made tea, and I forgot to put the tea bag in. And I remember complaining that this is awfully weak. Yeah. Well, at least I knew that I was being observant, you know, because there are people that would drink it and not notice.
Well, first off, I gave him his voter registration. And
so you must be the libertarian.
Yeah.
Ah. See, we know all about this.
Yeah. He got it. Anyway, I have a very good story for you. First off, remember a while back that everyone was saying hello to Blondie?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I put it this way. I'm 90% sure that I saw her in the mall, and this is I was dying. And the only reason I went to the mall was I had to pick up a friend who works in,
The shoe store, right?
No. It starts with a B.
The bicycle store.
No, it's not, I think, in a Bloomington. It's like a Gap. I can't think of the name of it.
It's like a Bugle Boy.
No. It's some Gap store. I can't think of the name of it.
Wait, we'll get this. Boy, it begins with a B, huh?
I thought it was. It's like old Gappy Court. It's right by Calder Court.
Big Ass Jeans. No. Get out of here.
No.
I can't believe somebody told me to say that.
But anyway,
if I need your help, I'll ask for it.
This is the best part. This girl, she obviously goes to the mall a lot because she works there. She works like 4 days a week. And she's been working there for like 3 years now.
Can you imagine spending 4 days a week in a mall?
I know. That's a sentence.
Wow.
Anyway, we're sitting, but I'm grabbing a slice of pizza because I came there 5 minutes early. And then she met me out there while I was getting a slice of pizza. And I'm waiting online.
Is that in the food court area?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, and I hear this person go, oh, blah, 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 Blondie. And I look at her first off, and it caught my eye because she was wearing a shirt. And also remember that they were talking about wiggers and stuff,
uh-huh.
You know, white, whatever. And she was wearing this shirt that says, I love, and had like a big, like, I love New York sign, but a heart, I mean. And it said, I love my wigger. And this guy who was holding hands with her had a white shirt, and it said, I love my wigette. And I was dying, and he's going on, and she, all of a sudden, like, they're talking about blah, 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 and he kept calling her Blondie, so that also caught my eye. I'm like, I only heard one Blondie.
95% of the evidence you need.
And also, something like, I heard him, I'm positive I heard, it's like, oh, blah, 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 are you ever going to call up USB?
Oh, there you go, then.
And I was dying, and this was the icing on the cake.
You must have been squirming on the floor at this point.
I was, and, like, the person who I picked up said, what are you laughing at? And I couldn't say anything right now because I just, you know, wanted to be incognito. Not that she'd know me, but I was dying, and,
Well, let me just ask you a question.
What?
Were you dying?
I was on the floor.
You were dying, weren't you?
And the best part about it is that person, Dan Quayle, whatever his name, his real name is Dan. That is true. His last name,
He never calls himself Dan Quayle. He only calls himself Mr. Quayle.
Whatever.
It's pretty funny that his name really is Dan, though.
There's two Dan people named Dan that call. But this was the Dan, Mr. Quayle, whatever. His real name is Dan. And I saw him. I'm positive it was him. He was talking with...
Wait a minute. Had you seen him before? Did you know what he looked like?
I remember his voice. I can't forget his voice.
Saying all of the listeners hang out in the same food court area of the mall?
It was the one with the high voice. It's not the one with the low voice. There's two Mr. Quayles are called. One says 92, one says 96.
Really? It's two Mr. Quayles. The one I get always says 96, as far as I can tell.
Well, I don't know. The one with the high voice. I'm positive him because I taped some of the USB shows.
The real Quayle says 94, you know.
I don't know what date it was. All
the real Quayle, the one in Washington, says 94. That's why he's, well, never mind, but go ahead.
The one in Whatchamacallit who keeps calling, and I knew it was his voice because I kept listening, like I kept walking back and forth, pacing like I didn't know what I wanted to eat from what station. Like I finished my pizza, I'm walking back and forth, like I wanted something more, just to make sure.
Yeah, do you want Greek, you want Chinese, you want Italian, you want the health food, you want...
Exactly.
Isn't that one that's all boarded up now?
I don't know,
never mind.
Anyway, I looked at him, like I looked him straight in the face, And he looks to the T like Eddie Munster. I am not kidding. Eddie Munster. He has black hair. It's not like slick back, but it's like black and like a little shiny. I don't know if it's motor oil or whatever. And he, whatever. It was just so pretty short, you know, like five, whatever, three, two, one.
Ooh.
And it was just, he had a skateboard in his hand, and I was on the floor. I was dying, as
you're
you
dying,
know.
Yeah.
So the medics took me away, and they said, help me.
Mr. Quail carries a skateboard.
All right. And the other thing is this. You're talking about Jehovah's Witness?
Is, yeah.
This is the thing that really is weird. Last summer, they came up to the door, and they're, like, selling their propaganda and stuff, their booklets. And like,
do they sell propaganda? I thought they were just giving it all to you.
Well, oh, they will give it to you if you would kindly donate a dollar or more donation.
I see.
So, you know, hint, hint.
Yes.
You don't get the book if you don't get a donation. Anyway, they also bring their children, so it's nice. And the kid was really cute.
They bring their kids with them?
Yes, yeah, seriously, they do.
You got to feel sorry for that. I mean, can you imagine if your parents dragged you out so that you could, like, you know, get money from the neighbors for your various religions?
I'd die.
Yeah, you would.
So I see this, and I felt like, you know, it was a summer day. I wanted them to get off my property. First off, they park right outside my driveway. And
so
I, they
so you
like,
can't get out?
Yeah, I can't get out. So I'm like, I better do something. So I'm running all over the house looking for money because I just spent it on pizza and I'm broke. So I'm, you know, digging up the everything, the treasure chest down in the basement. And finally grub up enough money, give them. And they're like, oh, this and that. And I'm like, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, whatever. Just get out of here. All of a sudden, and it, you know, they came back a couple, like a month or two later, and they're like, see, I'm under the age of 25, so like they're like, ah, so we, you know, I'm easier to manipulate, I guess they think, or whatever reason. And they came back to me this and that, and they did the same scenario, and they brought their cute little kid, and I'm like, oh God, I just want them to get out of my hair. Then a couple weeks ago, I think 3 weeks ago, I was airing out my van, because it's a VW popper van.
Right.
And I left the windows open, and they dumped a whole bunch of propaganda in the windows. I was gone. I went downstairs in my house to make coffee. I came back out, and they left a whole bunch of propaganda in my window. And I know it was done because it said Jehovah's Witness.
Well, yeah, that'd be a good clue right there.
And then to top it off, the other day I come home from school, and where do I see more propaganda on in my van? And I look in the back bumper, and it says, you know how it says Jesus loves you? Well, this one said Jehovah loves you.
And wait, where did you see this?
It's on my van now.
They put it on your bumper?
Yes. I'm like, they have a lot of nerve. That's my private property. I'm like, you know, one, this is going too far.
That is going too far. You know what you need? You need a good wall-sized poster of Satan. Okay.
Yeah,
and this
is
what you do.
This is what we're thinking about.
You put a small version on your front door, but then you put one inside your house and make sure it can be seen from your porch or whatever, so people can make sure where you stand as soon as you walk up to the door. And then you have some kind of bumper sticker on your van as well to convince them not to be near you.
Sure,
they'll write you off pretty quickly, I think.
But most people think like, oh, VW vans are so nice, you know, they're so peaceful. And they're like, oh, we could take advantage of it. And they must monitor me. They always get me when I'm out the door. So I'm, like, vulnerable.
Why are you vulnerable when you're out the door?
Because I'm like, I just want to get out. Like,
uh-huh.
Because I'm always late for everything. So I'm like, someone's going to be really mad. Damon, you're always late, this and that. I've said, all right, what the hell? You know, give them their money, let them go. So they do that. And what we're thinking about doing is hiding in the woods sometime in front of my house. And getting some Ozzy Osbourne stickers or something funny like that. And just putting them on their car. I'm like, they got a lot of nerve.
Well, you got to make sure it was them. I mean, it's pretty...
I know, but it's pretty... Well, of course I'll make sure, but I'd bet my bottom dollar.
Well, you know, get a video camera and follow these people around the neighborhood and record their antics.
I mean, what? That's just like... What that is almost like, it's almost like a little graffiti.
Yeah. And it's religious persecution, too, except you're being persecuted for not being their religion.
I know. I'm like, I'll give you $1.50. I'll give you $5. I'll make you a cup of coffee with no coffee grinds in it. But just don't put your Jesus, your Jehovah stuff on me. I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, I wouldn't do it to you. I wouldn't say, you know, I love my coffee without coffee grinds. Put it on your car.
Oh, yes, but we don't have to dwell on the coffee.
True. And the second thing is that caller before, he called my house. I went to, you know, Matt's old school, Chaminade? Remember?
No.
In high school?
No.
Oh, you missed it. The whole week he was talking about it. He was talking the ear off a brass monkey.
Really?
And he was talking about it, and I went to a concert there tonight, and that guy, Blindy, who wondered where he got the draft, he got the voter registration from the Libertarian, which was me.
Yeah.
He wanted me to plug up a hole in his car, and I couldn't do it today, and I apologize for him.
Let me ask you something, since you claim to be a Libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
What should happen to poor people?
What should happen to poor people?
Yeah, should we help them at all with tax money?
Well, see, they're really, I don't want to say, it's hard to say, like, anti-tax, but they're not pro-tax in the way, they're not anti-poor people at all.
Well, that's not what I asked. I'm asking.
They're not for the welfare system as it is, because it's a failure, quote unquote, from many libertarians, as they say.
Yeah.
And they want, what they want to do is they want to get rid of it, and they know they're not going to do it all of a sudden, like, no checks in the mail for welfare, but they want to do, like, this is just, my, I guess, interpretation of it. More like the three R's of FDR, remember? Like, relief, recovery, and then reform.
Yeah.
Like that type of deal for the welfare system. Like, you can't all of a sudden just go from welfare to reform. You can't. You have to have some relief for it first, and then recovery.
But what does that translate into?
What would that translate into?
Yeah, I mean, what actually would happen?
Well, all right, this is what you could do. Like, say someone who's on welfare is an alcoholic. We're just saying it. We're not saying he is a white, middle-aged alcoholic. So we're getting rid of all stereotypes right now.
Okay.
And what they would do is, all right, how come you can't get a job? And his name is Isaac, all right? Isaac, how come you can't get a job? Well, I get fired from my job all the time because I'm an alcoholic and I drink on the job and I have a problem. I can't stop drinking. I tried and I just can't. Well, we're going to help you. We're going to, the first what they'll do, part of relief is get them on AA. Or not force them, or just say, if you want a job for yourself and to help yourself, we'll get you, say, AA, whatever, some meeting, some help where he doesn't have to drink anymore, or where he drinks, it doesn't affect his work and his whole life. And then from there, go on a steady job, and, I guess if he wants to leisurely drink, he'll leisurely drink, but the basic, not to wrap his whole life around drinking and not even have the self-esteem to get up in the morning and look for a job, just, wrap your problems in a bottle of booze. Whatever it may be.
Yeah. So I'm still not clear what happens to this guy. He's saying that he gets sort of put into AA and...
See, put it, that's bad. It's like, it's hard to explain because, like, when you say put, it's almost like they force him.
Well,
but,
would they force him?
Tom, they wouldn't force him, would they?
Well,
whose
responsibility?
See, it's his responsibility that he's drinking. Like, as libertarians say, who owns your body? You.
Right.
Who determines what's right for your body? You.
Well, I mean, it's my understanding that under the libertarian system, people would choose not to pay taxes and would not want to support other people that could not support themselves. That's the way it's being portrayed. And if that was the case, what would happen to these people? That's the only thing I'm wondering about.
See, charity's much more efficient than welfare, and that's how they do it through.
That's what Bush says.
I know, but...
There's 1,000 points of light, but I don't know if that's really true.
1,000 points of light, is like that's just another government industry.
Uh-huh.
That's like a trash can. 1,000 points of light, that's like Coca-Cola. That's just so BS.
Yeah.
I mean, as the Neil Young song, 1,000 points of light for the homeless man who got a kinder, gentler machine gun hand. It's like, yeah, nice. Anyway, but... back onto the riot situation.
Yeah.
I was listening to a song which some man brought up, I think it was last week. It's called Trouble Everywhere, I do believe. It's by Frank Zappa on the album Freak Out, and it was made in 1965 against, I guess it was the Watts riot.
Yeah.
And that, it's just like, it's like he, as the guy was saying on the radio, it's like he, it could have been made yesterday, but, you know, obviously before the riots. And it's, if you get a chance, listen to it, play it. It's really good, a really good song. And it doesn't matter any riot. If you want to play for your kids when they go riot, you know, save it, tape it, whatever.
So it's called the album's Freak Out, and
it's his first album. It's Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, Freak Out,
right.
1965. On Barking Pumpkin Records.
And what's the name of the song?
Trouble Everywhere, I do believe. Don't quote me. Trouble Every Day, excuse me.
Trouble
I stand corrected
every
by
day.
The Boston Tom.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll check that out.
All right. So have a good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. That's right. And happy Mother's Day to all mothers who are out there listening.
That's right. Happy whatever to everybody else. And thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. And I don't have any bed bugs. I don't even know what bed bugs are, to be honest. I mean, what do they look like? Do they come from beds? Do they look like beds? Bed bugs. I don't even want to think about that now. Maybe I'll just sleep on the floor tonight. 121. And it's brain damage, 14 degrees Celsius outside, 57 on the Fahrenheit. You know, I don't know why we always say that. I don't know why we always give the temperature. What difference does it make if I say it's 14 Celsius or 20 Celsius? It's 1:22 in the morning. I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference in anybody's lives what the temperature is outside. I know I'm going against station policy by even criticizing the temperature, but I just feel somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to stand up for what's right. And giving the temperature just... I mean, you know... I think maybe the level of oxygen is more important. Maybe we should give percentages of that or something. The ozone level, the percentage of that that's left. Or, you know, the amount of hypocrisy in the air. Anything. What difference does it make what the temperature is? If it really affects your lives, tell us, and we'll continue to do it. But I just can't see how giving the temperature does anything for anybody. Oh, boy. I guess I'm in one of those moods. It's 22 minutes after 1 o'clock, as I've said. Also, given the time, I don't know if that does anybody any good either, but I'll save that. 632-6901, area code 516. Good morning. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Hold on. Let me check. Yeah, you're on the air.
Cool. Are we still talking about what's happening in L.A.? Because we got off.
Well, you're in control now. You can talk about whatever you want and steer us back to that if you want or take us someplace else.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about what's going on in L.A.
Okay.
I was watching a show a couple of days ago. It was called City Under Fire.
Yeah.
And, they interviewed people in the city, and it's like they were saying, all they were saying is, like, we want our city back. And, you know, they ain't going to get it, like, vandalizing stores and, you know, breaking in and stuff.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like by the time they get done vandalizing everything, you know, there ain't going to be no city.
But, you know, there's not a group of people sitting around saying, hey, let's get our city back by vandalizing things. What you saw was just spontaneous outpouring in an uncontrollable situation.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm not black, and I still think, it's like such a miscarriage of justice. But, you know, I ain't going to go out, you know, vandalize the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, but then again, you probably don't live in poverty either, do you?
No, I don't, but, you know, it's like the store owners, they're trying to make a living in it. It's, like, hard enough without people breaking into their stores and everything.
Yeah, a lot of those people lived in that neighborhood, too, so they know exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw people, you know, vandalizing and setting fires, but there were a lot of people that lived there, a lot of people that were not doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were the ones that were really suffering. And now they're in even worse condition. So, yeah, it's really it's horrible when that kind of thing happens. But what I was saying was that this is something that can be avoided with, you know, adequate living conditions and the sense that you're not being ignored all the time. Because if you just keep doing this, if you just keep having more Rodney King verdicts and more poverty and less spent on social programs and education, it's just going to get worse. People are going to get more angry and they're going to do more destructive things. And, yeah, they'll be hurt more than anybody else, but that's not going to stop them from doing them. I mean, look at drugs, right? Drugs hurts the user more than anybody else. Why do people do it? It's self-destructive, yet it's seen as a way out of a hopeless situation, and of course it's not.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And it's like the people in L.A., it's like the city's going in the tube and everything. And, like, they couldn't get good enough lawyers because, like, they had the tape right in front of them. They couldn't see that the guy was, like, just laying down and letting them beat him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would not be proud to be at one of the prosecutors. They had a videotape, for God's sake, and they weren't able to prove the case.
Even, like, a poor lawyer could, like, see that the guy was laying there. He wasn't even trying to get up. He was just, like, covering his head, like, so he wouldn't die.
Yeah, in a way, they must have thought that this videotape was, you know, nobody could refute that. So maybe they didn't try as hard as they really should have. But again, you know, you could have the best case in the world. If you get 12 jurors together that are either stupid, racist, or just set in their ways, there's really nothing you can do to override that. You know, and the odds of getting 12 people to agree, they're all from the same neighborhood. You know, that's it goes up quite a bit.
Yeah, and can I just say to some of my friends that might be listening?
Sure.
Hi to Matt, Kevin, Mike, Jeremy and Jay and Ron Conkema. I don't know if they got on yet. I've been like waiting for like so long.
Yeah, I know. It's lonely waiting on the phone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's worth getting on, you know, talk about stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, your voice is resonating throughout Long Island and Connecticut as well. It's you know, normally you pay millions of dollars for that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
so it's worth a local phone call.
Mm.
And tying up your line for an hour while you wait to get through.
Yeah. My mom's like, go to bed. I'm like, Mom, just like 10 more minutes. It's like a half an hour late. I'm still on.
Boy.
Forget about it.
Actually telling people to go to bed at 1:27 in the morning on a Saturday, or a Sunday, rather.
Mm.
Well, it is Mother's Day, so I guess maybe we should be sort of polite.
Well, I'm asleep until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, okay, so you're in Ronkonkoma, I assume.
Yeah.
That's where all your friends are.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
No, just like, you know, to all the people in L.A., you know, you got to stop breaking into stores and stuff because you only hurt yourself.
That's true. What would you suggest in place of that?
Anything but, like, you know, just, like, breaking up your city. You know, anything's got to be better than, you know, vandalizing stores, like, hurting people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you hate where you live and you can't get out of it, it's like a prison in a way. So, I mean, if you were in a prison and you couldn't stand it, you might destroy it. You might try to destroy it, and perhaps that's how some people feel of the living conditions that they're in.
Well, or it could make you, you know, just want to make it, you know, try and make it better because, you know, you're stuck there. You just might want to make the best of it.
Well, that's, you know, it's good to say that, but it's kind of hard to live that sometimes.
Gotta be there. You can't just, you know, it's easy to say it.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe some people will go to Washington on Saturday, and maybe it will make a difference. Or maybe they'll vote. Maybe that will make a difference.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it would.
You think Bush did enough?
No, definitely not.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did he go to L.A.?
Yeah, he went there.
He didn't? No.
Over the last couple of days, he's been there, and you know, he gave a couple of speeches and things like that, but he didn't really meet with the people.
Speech ain't going to help you.
Not really, no. And I think a lot of people saw through that.
Yeah.
Do you think TV's coverage was adequate? Did it help? Did it hurt?
Yeah, I think it helped. You know, it's better than just speeches.
Yeah, I know in New York, for instance, it definitely had a soothing effect because there were a lot of rumors going around last Friday as to riots taking place in the city. And what the TV people did was they said this is not really happening. So, you know, don't panic or anything like that. And if it weren't for TV, I don't think a lot of people would have gotten the right information. They would have thought that the city was in chaos.
Yeah. I gotta go.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me on the air.
All right, take care.
Bye.
632-6901, area code 516. Good morning.
Yes, this is Mr. Quill again.
Well, this is your second time on tonight, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to stay on very long.
We don't want you to either, but go ahead.
Okay, that guy Tom who called... I didn't believe any of the story that he told us, did you? Did you believe him?
Obviously you don't, right?
No. Bonnie's not a real person anyway. It's from that cartoon strip in the paper.
Wait a minute. That's sacrilege. What do you mean Blondie's not a real person?
No, she's not.
She's as real as you and... as you, anyway. I don't know about me.
He went on for about 15 minutes with the story that's absolutely not true. He has absolutely no facts, either. And every time he gets on the air, he says bad things about me, just because I'm a Republican.
Well, what do you mean, just because?
Well, about this libertarian, sometimes he gets on the air and he curses at me. One time when that Kevin guy, the guy from Psychedelic Contestant, you weren't here.
That Kevin guy, yeah, okay.
Well, he got on the air and at the end of the show, the guy was going through calls real fast and he cursed at me. He cursed on the air and he said, "I'm Mr. Quail so-and-so," and he cursed at me. And he shouldn't...
Let me just ask you a question. Did he curse at you?
Yes.
Ah.
You shouldn't let him on the air anymore if he's just going to tell stories like this all the time.
Okay, so before he tells a story, next time I'll ask him if it's true or not. And if it's not true, I won't let him on?
Yeah, and he was the guy with the Boston accent. And he should put something in the file not to put him on the air anymore.
All right, hang on a second.
Files either, too.
What do you mean they're locked up? Hold on. Unlock them. No, we need the files. Unlock them, please. Thank you.
Who are you talking to?
A little bit of bureaucratic, a couple of the assistants that are dealing with the files. You see, the problem is the files are getting so big and cumbersome that we need a second file cabinet, but there's no room for a second file cabinet in the station.
What do you put in these files?
You know, the various things that you know, people believe in, what they say, where they're from, their values, their family upbringings, education levels, you know, the basics.
But what are you going to use that for?
We can't say that, I'm sorry. It's research, that's it. Yeah, just research, nothing more.
I hope you'll consider not putting Tom in the air anymore, because he just goes on with these stories that are not true.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Republican and Quail in 96.
Quail in 96. All right, thank you. Yeah. Whew, always out of breath after I finish with him. 632-6901. And, yeah, no more fiction on the air, folks. Fiction is bad for you. That's right. Only tell stories that are true. Only read stories that are true. Everything else is a lie. Okay. Good morning.
Eric?
Yeah?
First of all, I just want to start out with Mr. Quail just called.
Okay.
He's an idiot.
Okay. Is that a fact or is that fiction?
Well, I can back it up right now if you'd like me to.
No, if you say it's fact, then I have to let it on.
Well, I'd like to back it up just to prove he's an idiot for people who don't believe me.
Okay.
First of all, he's saying Tom called up. That was Damon, not Tom.
Okay.
So that's first of all, and he's saying when Kevin was on...
How do you spell Damon?
Damon, D-A-M-A-N. Why, are you going to correct your files there if you got it wrong?
No, we had it right. Okay. Continue.
Okay, and he was saying when Kevin was doing the show that he cursed on him. That's fake also, because Damon called up and he said something, because like he was scanning to see if Blondie was on.
Wait a minute, hold on, I just got to step in here.
Okay.
Does every single person who calls up this radio show know each other? Is this just one gang of people that all live in the same block or something?
No.
Everybody knows every other caller by name, and they know them by face.
Well, I've known Damon since grammar school, so.
Oh, man, I mean, all you guys have USB programmed into your speed dial, and it's the only way you can all get through and nobody else gets through.
Well,
how can Mr. Quail get through twice in one night?
I don't know. If you ask me, I think he's got three-way calling. Because, like, he dials USB when he gets through. He puts that on hold and dials through again.
Uh-huh.
That's my theory. I don't know. If you want to believe it, it's okay with you.
Okay, hang on one second.
Okay.
Hang on one second. Let's put you on hold for a moment while I do some creative programming over here. Okay, now we have opened up some more lines. 632-6500 is also open, so give us a call on that as well if more people want to get through that have not been able to get through before.
Okay.
Because of all the same people calling up over and over again.
Okay.
Those lines are now full. I don't believe it. Actually, we have one line left now.
It's Mr. Quail.
I don't know, but and let me just say, those people that call the new number, just make sure you haven't called before. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Also, with the... with Tom, with the Boston accent?
Yeah.
Well, he's got a New York accent, and he's got a Boston accent. Because, tell you the truth, between me and you and the rest of the people listening,
uh-huh.
Schizophrenic.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm glad you pointed that out.
And with Damon, with the you said get a picture of Satan?
Yeah. Not a picture, just a poster. It can be a drawing.
Yeah, well, maybe he can go up to... I know Damon's into photography. So maybe he can go up to Umiat and get some pictures.
That would be good, too. But also, it doesn't have to even be a picture or a painting. It can just be a name. Like, you know, supposing he changes his last name on the mailbox to Satan. That would be enough to throw any Jehovah's Witness coming up the driveway off, you know? Or get a special plate for that camper van or whatever that he's got.
Microbus.
Whatever. And put Satan on that.
Good point.
Yeah. You don't even have to spell it right. I hear that it works no matter how you spell it.
Hmm. Or you could spell it backwards and upside down if you really want to scare them away.
Yeah, do something with a mirror. Yeah, make it backwards so that when they look at it in a mirror, it spells Satan. That'll scare them.
Oh.
Everyone screaming down the driveway. You'll never see them again.
No?
They might even drop the kid on the way.
They'll just protect themselves, drop the kids behind.
I know. I know what he should do next time they come to his house. They should have somebody talk to them, and then he leads the little kid into another room, and he starts changing the little kid and feeding him propaganda. So that one day, the little kid will rise up and say, you know, Hail Satan or something in front of his parents and you know, will completely unravel whatever it is they're trying to do. Because you figure he's got to have that propaganda pretty much fed into him on an almost consistent basis. He's got a dedicated line going into him.
Yeah.
So if he can get a little outside influence there, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah.
You know?
One of my friend's teachers, it's like he told how one of his friends, got rid of Jehovah's Witnesses. You want to hear about it?
Bug spray? The bug spray part?
Nah.
Because bug spray does work.
Nah, he did something more creative.
Okay.
When they ring the doorbell, he'd look out the window to see who it is.
Yeah.
If it was them, he'd get his shotgun, he'd answer the door buck naked with his shotgun in his hands.
That definitely provokes a reaction of some sort. What kind of reaction did it provoke from them?
Actually, I never heard, but if I went up to someone's door and saw them buck naked with a shotgun, I don't even think the naked part would scare me. I think the shotgun would scare me away.
Well, it's just sort of, you know, take your pick. If one doesn't work, the other will.
Hmm.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Also, to correct Damon, that Zappa tape, I believe that's 68.
Was it 68?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, Watts was 65, or was it 66? I'm not sure exactly.
Well, I believe it was a 68 tape, because most of the members of Mothers of Invention were ex-Turtle members.
I see. Okay, that would make sense then.
Hmm. Also, did you see the new Tom Petty video, Peace in L.A.?
No, I haven't seen any videos recently.
Very, very good. They, co-elite, all of, news footage.
Already? Within 2 weeks, he's got a video out about the riots?
Yeah.
Oh, man, talk about opportunism.
Hey, he's a fast worker.
He is. Must be.
Yeah, well, it's hey, the Heartbreakers have been around for, 15 years?
Something like that.
So I think when he sees the opportunity, he'll grab it, which I guess is what he did.
He certainly did.
Mm.
Listen, thanks for calling. I'm going to move on to some of these new calls.
Okay.
All right.
If any of them's Mr. Quayle, just hang up on.
Okay, sounds good. Good evening. Anybody there?
Yeah. Hello?
What's up?
First, I want to say hi to Leighton Saladino.
Okay.
Second of all, I got a joke. What's the difference between the New York police and the L.A. police?
Okay. First of all, let me just say to all the cops out there, look, I think you're okay. I don't have any problem. I think you're all human beings and stuff like that. Don't be offended by what you hear on the radio. It's only radio. Now, what's the punchline to the joke?
New York police go bar hopping. L.A. police go clubbing.
Right. Okay. Well, actually, only L.A. police might be offended by that. Thanks for sharing that with us. Good morning. Is that the kind of phone you're going to use?
Hello?
Oh, that's better. That's better. Okay.
Well, God, yes, we've been waiting for hours.
Hours? No, that's an exaggeration.
No, we're 10 minutes, say.
All right, that's better.
I just wanted to tell you a very true story that just happened.
Just happened, within the last 10 minutes? You've been on the phone.
15 minutes. Came in and called you.
Okay, something happened, and you ran in, and then you stayed on the phone for 10 minutes waiting to tell me the story.
Can I just say hi to, a couple people?
And now you're going to waste another minute saying hi to people that have nothing to do with the story. You know, what if we're all struck dead in the next, minute? We'll never know what this was about.
Well.
All right, say hi. Go ahead, say hi. It might be the last thing you ever do, but say hi to people.
Say hi to John Menfee.
Uh-huh.
I want to say hi to Tim LeBron. I want to say hi to all the kids at the worst school in the world, SSPJ. And now it's back to the story.
Wait, what kind of school is that? What does it stand for?
It's a parochie. It's a Catholic school. You know, they dress up and they dress up in ties and suits and stuff.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, do you go there?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You must have a lot of fun.
Oh, great. All right.
Yeah, tell me the story.
Tom Drexler, just so everyone hears me. I'm talking from Setauket.
Setauket. Setauket. That's near here.
Stony Brook. We're right down the road from you.
Yeah, I can see you from here.
Oh, hi!
Hey.
That's all right. See, we're out in the sheet, right? And we put some,
bottles in the road, and we threw a bowling ball from the bowling alley, and we were bowling.
Wait. What kind of street was this? Was this like 25A or something?
Halleck Road.
What road?
Halleck Road.
You mean the one with all the stop signs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bowling on it.
You live on that road? Oh, my God.
We were just bowling, you know, having a good time. And then we decided to ride bicycles. So this one kid, we took his hub off, and we just put the tire on there with nothing holding it on. So he was riding, and the tire came off.
That's real funny.
It was hilarious when he fell head first.
Uh-huh. And which hospital did you send him to?
No, and then we started rolling the tire back and forth the street, and this guy stopped. And he goes, "Where do you live?" And we're like, "Why? It's none of your business."
Wait, you left out a crucial point here. This guy stopped. Was he in the sky? Was he on the road? Was he in a car? Was he on a bicycle? What?
Going to his house. I'm not really sure where he lived. And he said he was going to call the cops on us.
Okay.
So, of course, we told him off.
Okay.
And then he goes, "You better watch your language because I'm going to call the cops on you."
Okay.
And he called the cops.
Uh-huh.
And we were just dancing around the streets. We didn't think he was going to do anything. So we're rolling the bowling ball, smashing bottles, throwing the tire and stuff. It was great.
Boy, it sounds like a fun night in Setauket, or Stony Brook, whatever.
We're right down the street from you. Can we stop in?
Oh, sure.
Oh, really? Can we?
Sure. We're open to people stopping in.
But where is it? Is it on Stony Brook campus?
Yeah. Yeah, we are on the Stony Brook campus right here in the Student Union building. Here we are.
Student Union? Get to me in here.
What?
No, because we're all sleeping over this kid's house, and he lives right next to you. We're bowling. It was hilarious.
Uh-huh. Well, bowling can be lots of fun. But, you know, you got a bowling alley right down the street.
That's where we took the ball from, but it's bowling in the street.
How in the world did you get a bowling ball out of a bowling alley without anybody seeing you?
Say the story, okay?
I think that's more of a story than that.
Okay. What happened was, okay, I was getting my ball re-drilled, okay? And I took an alley ball.
You're getting your ball re-drilled? I've never heard of that, but okay.
Okay.
I mean, what, the hole gets worn out or something?
No, it's too small.
Oh, right, your fingers grow. Okay, I got it.
All right, I take an alley ball, and I'm bowling, like, really good with it. Like, you know, 180. Just
180, huh? Okay.
So I keep it, okay? And then
how'd you get it out?
I just put it in my bag, and I never gave it back to him.
I sure hope nobody from that bowling alley is listening to this show right now, or we might be called into court to testify or something.
The Stony Brook Bowling Alley.
Well, we all know that. You live in Stony Brook, and you gave your address practically, so we can figure out where the bowling alley is.
Next to Mary.
This sounds like a life of crime you people are leading out there. I mean...
Are you the DJ that went to Chaminade?
No, I was not going on about that. That was not me, uh-uh.
He's on the phone right now, he's going to Chaminade.
Is that so?
Who else? Who went to Chaminade?
Darren went to Chaminade.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know who Darren is.
What?
I have no idea who any of these people are.
Dude, we just turned on the radio and everyone's talking about Darren and stuff. No, well, all I would like to say is Bush is the best. Bush is going to win. And I don't see why these people are riding in L.A. I don't understand why they're beating each other up. It's their own place there.
Uh-huh.
About it.
Well, they could say the same thing about you, putting bottles in your own street and taking bowling balls from local neighborhood merchants and things like that.
Yeah, but that's not kidding around. We don't have, sure, we have three or four kids bowling. We don't have the whole neighborhood bowling.
Showing disrespect to your neighbors.
No, we cleaned it up, though.
Wasting the time of your local law enforcement officials.
No, we didn't. No, but, I mean, in L.A., see, there's like 1,000 guys. And it's not like they're beating up someone else's house. I can understand that. They're pissed and they want to beat on something.
Look, people are out of control. They do not have a rational reason for doing what they're doing. But, you know, we're not too far away from any of us getting completely out of control and losing sight of reason and things like that.
But the thing I couldn't understand was one of his employees in there stealing stuff and beating up the store and taking things.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
they didn't have a good worker-employee relationship, you know?
I'm not sure what happened in there, but, I mean, I'm paying this guy to protect my store. I see him beating things up and throwing things through the windows and stuff. It would be horrible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I had a job, I mean, I would have some respect for someone.
Well, it depends what kind of job you had, you know?
I mean, even if I was, like, a poopy hauler.
Well, you know, sometimes people don't have much respect for their employers. It's hard to, to generalize.
All right, so you're Eric, right?
So they say. That's what they tell me. That's what my license says.
Hmm. Well, can we come down and visit you now?
Oh, sure. If you can get onto the campus.
What do you mean, can't, if we can? They have guards out there now?
Do you all know about them? When they took down the Berlin Wall, they put it back up here.
They did?
Armed patrols, walking, pacing around with dogs and things like that.
They going to stop us?
What?
They going to stop us?
Only if they catch you.
Oh, we're going to get knocked. We'll bring our bowling ball. We can go bowling in the studio.
You're gonna need at least a bowling ball to get through that.
Well, Ken, you know where the student union is?
Yeah, it's where the games are, the arcade.
Is that where the arcade is in the student union?
That's the place.
Oh, good. How long are you gonna be there for?
Not too much longer. Only 14 minutes.
Oh, we'll be down there. when we get into the student union, who should we ask for?
Well, gosh, I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't even know if the building's open, to be honest.
Oh, well, then we'll just meet you outside.
Yeah, that sounds... maybe in the parking lot or something like that.
Oh, bowling! We'll get the bottles. Get the bottles. I'll get the balls. We'll go down and get some more balls right now.
Take the skinheads bowling, right?
They're not skinheads.
No, that's a song from Camper Van Beethoven.
Oh, yeah, I have that album.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if, you, like, call people up in the air?
Do we call people up on the air?
Do you call people up in the air?
Well, sometimes we do. We don't call specific people up on the air. We're not a telephone company, if that's what you're asking.
No, not the telephone company. Can you call up one specific person? I just want to say hi to him. Cause
you want me to call somebody so you can say hi to him while all of those listeners just sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting to get on the air or for us to play music?
Because once he called up one of these Roto-Rooters. You know what they are, right? Hello?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, and he made a good prank on him.
Did he?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Well, he'll have to tell us about that someday.
Okay.
But listen, we gotta get on to some more calls.
All right, I just want to say.
Yeah.
Best. This is Tom Jetsa. Bush is the best. I hate all those people.
Okay. Get all out of your system. Thanks for calling. Good morning. Anybody there? Oh no, we can't have any of that. Good morning.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Only the ones that have been verified.
Yes or no?
A qualified yes, but enough of a no to save me in case they think I'm crazy.
Do you ever watch the Howard Stern Show?
No.
That's the best show on television.
Well, it's on when I'm on, isn't it?
What do you like to do? What are your hobbies? Are you married?
Being married is not a hobby, first of all. Second of all, what do I like to do?
Yeah, in your spare time.
Long walks on the beach. You know, I like to read. I like, going to romantic movies and, things. I'm looking for something long term, something serious. It's time to settle down. It's time to, to think about the future.
Where do you live?
That's what I'm looking. I'll give out my phone number later. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Gosh, I'd be the last to know. I haven't checked the teletype recently. I don't even know what's going on outside.
Okay. What's the temperature?
It's 14 degrees Celsius. Does that really matter?
Yes. That's why I called. No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
I have a major discovery, and I'd like to share it with your listeners.
Okay.
I figured out how to hold three independent liquids in my mouth at the same time without mixing them.
Three independent liquids in your mouth at the same time without mixing them.
Like, for instance, I could put Coke, Pepsi, and...
RC.
And yeah, like RC. Well, no, like, say, orange juice or
something. You could run
in my mouth at the same time.
You could run your own Pepsi challenge without taking up any space in the supermarket.
And hold them in my mouth, and then they won't mix. Like, they'll all be in there, sort of in their own little area.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
How do you prove that you're actually doing something?
I haven't figured that out yet. But what I'd like to know is if any of your other listeners have tried this, and if they've been able to get more than three. Like, I'm trying to get four, but I just don't see how that's possible.
Can you disclose what parts of your mouth you use for?
Yeah, I can explain that. The first liquid should go into the left side of your mouth, and the second liquid will go on the right, and the last liquid will go in the middle.
The left from your perspective?
From my perspective.
It probably doesn't really matter. Okay, so you probably keep all of that, in your cheek or something?
Yeah, like one would be on the left, one liquid would be in the left cheek, sort of, one in the right, and the rest goes in the middle, and that's the last thing you do. And then after that, you pretty much use up the potential,
All right, now to go further on this, what is it that physically prevents the liquids from mixing?
It's kind of hard to explain.
Is it sort of an air pocket?
No, it's like trying to teach somebody how to whistle. It's hard to explain. It's like you know, you bend your tongue in a way so that it separates the liquids or something like that.
You bend your tongue. That is incredible. Do your teeth play any part in this?
No, they pretty much stay out of the way. They're subordinate to the whole process, actually.
Tell me, when did you first begin experimenting with this kind of endeavor?
I started with one liquid. That was pretty simple, and I rapidly progressed to two liquids. But I just recently made three liquids, and I thought that was a significant achievement, so I wanted to share it.
Uh-huh. And who else have you shared this with?
So far, just you and your listeners.
Well, that is something indeed, and maybe there are people out there that that have done more liquids, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hoping to find out, because I really like to do four.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, this might be sort of like a Guinness Book of World Records kind of thing. So I'm keeping that possibility open, but I just want everyone to know that, you know, I was first.
You should call them. Well, where are they located for? How do you call them?
We can find, maybe we can talk to information. Would they know?
Do you think toll-free information?
Huh? Maybe, yeah.
Okay, hang on a second. We're going to tie in toll-free information here. In fact, you can ask the question.
Sure, let's do it.
Because I'm almost embarrassed to do this, but let's get toll-free information on the line here. And, well, ask a question. All right, caller, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, the next voice you hear will be that of the information operator. The toll-free information operator.
Hello?
May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'm trying to reach the Guinness Book of World Records.
Thank you. One moment.
Oh, no.
You asked for it, you're going to get it.
I forget how is it spelled?
Gee, I think it's... G-U-I-N-N-E-S-S, maybe? No, one N.
Yeah, one N. That's right.
I can't.
Wouldn't want to get the wrong one, though, would you?
No, they don't list it.
They're not listed?
No.
I'll try two N's, yeah.
I already did.
Let's see. Try switching the U and the I.
The Guyanis.
That's right, either. But I'll try it. One moment.
Okay.
This operator will try anything.
No?
No.
Oh, man.
I've never found it. We've never had it.
Really? How would you suggest I get in contact with them?
I don't know, because you'd have to know where they are. You'd have to know where they're located.
Huh. If I gave you an address, in other words, you'd be able to...
No, you would have to call... I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it?
It's 800 at all. So you would have to call information where they are and get their regular number.
You'd have to know where they are. That's sort of like a catch-22, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
Wow. So they really... I guess they really don't want to be contacted.
I don't know how people contact them. I guess they get their address from some magazines or who knows. You know what? Call the library.
Call the library.
They would know.
Do you have a number for the library?
In what state are you in?
I'm in New York.
One moment.
New York.
No.
You don't have a library either?
No, because I'm 800 only. Most libraries aren't listed with 800.
Oh, that's
just
a shame.
Just call a local library.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. All right, so now we have to call a library at 2 in the morning?
Wait a minute, I think this brings up a new issue, completely new issue. What is this with Guinness Book of World Records? What, they don't have an 800 number? They don't want to be contacted?
They don't have a listed 800 number.
Yeah, listed. Yeah, maybe she knew and she didn't want to tell us.
All right, we're going to try one more thing. Maybe, just maybe, Guinness Book of World Records is in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's a possibility. I don't want to get your hopes up here. But let's try that. Hold on. I called 917 information. Nice deep baritone ring there. Remember all phones used to sound like that? This is 917, but it will ring in 212.
Big City, Mr. Spence, good evening.
Hello?
May I help you?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, yes. I'm trying to reach the Guinness Book of World Records.
Ah, yes.
New York?
Yes. Hum-de-dum-de-dum, hum-de-dum,
mm-hmm.
Waiting around. Yep.
I have a Guinness World Record Exhibit Hall.
Where is that? I'm sorry.
Fifth Avenue.
And what's the number?
The number is 947.
What happened to her voice?
2335.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, except for one thing. That's the Guinness World Hall, whatever. That's the exhibit. That's not the people that put out the
show. No, that won't do at all. Yeah. Let's wait for her.
The
to
operator
back.
Will come back, and we can ask her if there is a real book.
Yeah.
It won't be the same operator, though.
Oh.
No, they don't give you the same operator. They flip you over to the
telephone, Mrs. Hughes.
Hi, how are you? I'm trying to reach the Guinness Book of World Records, but I'm not trying to reach the museum. I'm trying to reach the book.
That's the only listing I have under Guinness, sir.
The museum and not the
right.
book.
Right.
How would I go? How would I find the book?
Well, you're here to find out. Do you know who it's published by?
Oh.
Is it listed like under the publisher?
Oh, I see. No, I don't know the publisher, really.
Yeah, I'd have to know what the publisher's name is. I could check it that way.
Okay, if I knew where they were located, would that work?
You mean an address?
Yeah.
No, I can't check anything by just an address.
Okay, because another operator told me if I knew where they were, I'd be able to find out the number.
Well, I might be able to look under the publisher's at that location.
Okay, well, that's good, because now that I have two ways of finding out.
Okay.
Before, I only had one. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, operator.
Well, we are making progress.
We are definitely making progress, but the term wild goose chase does come to mind here. What I'm going to do now, and this is the last thing we're going to do, because we're running out of time here, we're going to try calling that number, see if there's perhaps a recording that might say where the Guinness Book of World Records is. And by the way, if there's any listeners out there that have in their grubby little hands a copy of the Guinness Book of World Records, they can tell us maybe a phone number or something like that. That sure would be helpful, because, this guy can hold three liquids in his mouth at the same time. That's something that should be noted someplace. All right, let's try and get through. Calling up the Guinness Museum or whatever. I don't really even know what that is. Okay, we're all tied in here. And it's ringing. You think we'll get a machine or something?
Yeah, I'm almost sure.
How many rings? 20? All right, most answering machines would pick up about now. But this one is not going to do that, is it? Well, sadly, it appears as if we've hit another obstacle.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty upset over this. I mean, they don't have an 800 number, and they don't have an answering machine. And there doesn't appear to be any way to reach them.
So it takes all the enthusiasm out of trying to set a world record, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know what to tell you. I feel sad, obviously, that your search has ended in failure. I hope it doesn't mean that you've given up on setting more world records.
No. Maybe we can make this a challenge for next week.
Yeah. I think we might make this a challenge for quite some time to come.
This could be a continuing series.
Yep.
An ongoing search to find the Guinness Book of World Records.
You set a world record. That's only the beginning of your endeavor here. You have to find them and tell them and convince them.
That's true. Maybe there's a record for how long it takes to find them.
Did the phone answer? No, it didn't answer. Yeah, number of rings that the Guinness Book of World Records phone has rung.
Yeah. But how long it takes to find them.
Well, it could take us eternity, I suppose. But we are going to have to continue this next week, I suppose. You know, I don't have an outro.
I'll play one. I have my harmonica here.
You have a harmonica?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let me get rid of this this phone that's ringing.
Okay.
One more ring. Okay, let's say goodbye to that. All right, now hopefully I got rid of the right thing. You're still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, what you're going to do is play our harmonica outro, and I'm going to say at this point, well, I guess you start playing it underneath me as I'm
talking. Okay, I'm going to have to put the phone down so you just can fade me out or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do that. Of course, you won't know when to stop, but... okay, that's the show for tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? And call in again next week. We'll, it's very distracting. We'll be back next week, right, with another show, doing something else. Yeah, that's what we'll do. And until then, take care and have fun and all that kind of thing. Good night. Oh, real smooth there. Real smooth segue. Let's
you know what happened?
Let's try it again. Hold on. Why don't you go back to your harmonica and we'll try.
Oh, you know
to,
what happened?
What happened?
One of the keys on my harmonica is not working, so I can't really get those
it wasn't your fault because it's coming over the phone. We don't really know the difference, but we just had a miscue with the CD player.
Oh, okay, I'll do it in.
So just go back to what you were doing and we'll try to do this right like radio professionals. Okay. Nice, smooth intro here. Okay, they'll never know. Go ahead, now. Yeah, see how smooth that was? That's what being a radio professional is all about. I can teach you a thing or two about that. All right, let me get out of the studio now. I'll turn it over to you. And, pass on it. I left the microphone on.
Last light, Minnesota. And last light, space without room. And last light, bacon and ice cream. That's what last light without you. Last light, forever be coming by. Last forever, feeling and hurt. Now last light, death without living. That's what last light without you. Sanskrit read to a phone. I see it in my mind's eye, strangling on your tongue. What good is knowing such devotion? I've been around, I know what makes things wrong. What good is seeing our charm?